Morning. I am. Does this work? These buttons? All right. Well, as promised, we're going to study the book of James, and some of you are dreading this. You said, hey, we had 2 years of this. What do we have to put up with more of this? And I want to assure you, we are doing this a little bit different than what you've had it in the past. In fact, we're not doing this chapter by chapter. We could easily go through the five different chapters over the next 5 weeks. There'll be a little bit of a break after these first three, and then we'll come back at the end. So if you want a roadmap, what we're about to do is we're about to go through the book of James and look at many of the themes, some of the very specific themes. In fact, you know this book probably. My guess is some of you have probably already memorized this book in the past. The question is not whether or not you know it. The question is whether or not you live it. And that's entirely different. And as I began to read this, I actually tried to memorize chunks of this myself growing up. And as I was reading through this over the last several months, I began to try and read this from my perspective of what can I get out of this just for me. And I began to see things that I had never seen before, and things that actually just kind of pricked my heart. They were very convicting. And I believe that if you will take time over the next several weeks to invest into your own spiritual life in a way, maybe more so than what you normally do, you're going to devote just a little extra effort to studying this, to hearing what God has to say to you through the book of James, I think that you will walk away with more than what you anticipate. And I tried to do a couple things for you. We'll get into some of this in a little bit, but if you will, just pull out your little packet that we had given you. It looks something like this. If you didn't get one, you want one, if you raise your hand, we'll have somebody pass out some extras. Hands coming in the back. Some of you snuck in without getting one of these. This is our challenge to you. And I understand everybody comes from different backgrounds. Everyone is at different stages in life. Some of you have little kids. It's harder for you to take on more challenges. And so what we did is we tried to come up with a way for you to pick a level. And so when you get this, if you've got a pen with you, I want you to do something right now. I want you just to highlight a level. Pick a level. Pick a challenge. A pause challenge is what we're calling it. You're going to take, over the next 3 weeks, moments just to pause and stop what you're doing and look at your own life and examine, do I live this out? And you can do it a couple different ways. Level one is really easy. Level one is you just come. You just show up. And you show up and you listen to stuff that's taught and you apply it to your life. You take it home. You try to remember it. If I coach you and say, hey, say this with me, you say it with me. Everybody can do level one. Can we just acknowledge this is our seeker sensitive, nice, easy level. You can, we don't even have to actually list it, but we are. You can do this. Level two is you write out the verses. Once a week, you read through some passages. Maybe you take the passages that I give you, which is on the back of your notes today, for level two. You can pick out one of those. This one for this week is James 1, verse 22. This is a great level for those of you who are vandals. What you can do is you can actually go get little markers and write this verse on your mirror in your bathrooms or on sticky notes and stick them in places in your kids' lunches or in other places so that you will just have constant reminders around your house of the verses of James. And this is great for those level one people in your life, right? Because the level one people, they're not going to do much effort, but they'll constantly be seeing those verses too, just like you will be. A level three is reading a chapter a day. If you can, read the whole book every day. Level four, you're studying James in light of Jesus. Again, on the back of your notes section each week, there'll be parallel verses that go along with James that coordinate and connect to the teaching of Jesus. We'll get into some of this a little bit later in today's talk, but James is one of the only books throughout the most of it is quoting indirectly or directly the teachings of Jesus. In fact, the teachings of Jesus are actually found more in the book of James than even in some of the Gospels. And so we want you to be able to see some of those parallels. So if you want to study, this is a great one for you. Level five, you can pray, read, and journal. This is a good one if you want to be a coach to somebody. You want to pick at least three people over the course of the next several weeks that you're going to just text or email or call and just encourage. And every week, all of you can look through your life and you can study the book of James. And Maddie did a great job for us. She actually put together a blog. So you can kind of write down ideas that God's just teaching you, things that you notice, and you can write them out and you can post them on the blog so we all can kind of learn from each other. Does that sound good? And lastly, if you want to go down this path and continue to grow, you got level seven, and that's you memorize the book. And one way that you do this, you write it out. One way you do this, you say it out loud every day. Another way that you do this is you read the book on a regular basis. And you can do a mixture of these. You don't have to do one, only one of these. You can do a variety. You can kind of come up with your own. And we call that your black belt, your James black belt. And if you want to be a black belt and you're not good athletically, you can be this black belt, all right? So let's begin. We're going to dive into this. It begins in James chapter 1, and it says this. It says, James. And in the Greek, it's actually Jacobus. Jacobus in the Greek. In the Hebrew, it's Jacob. And so it's Jacob, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. And we're not going to get very far today, and you're going to think, oh man, this is going to take 2 years, and it's not going to take 2 years, but I really want to hone in on this and then begin to break it apart and then take you through the life of James. As we look throughout the life of James, we'll be able to go week by week remembering the experiences of James, because all of James's writings are not void from his experience. This James is the brother of Jesus. If you wanted an experience, imagine that experience. In fact, James has hurdles that you and I never had as hurdles. Imagine if your brother was the Son of God. And no one told you about it because Mary treasured these things in her heart. Remember, in Luke, says that Mary treasured all these things in her heart. Herod tried to kill young Jesus. The Pharisees on a regular basis, they were wanting to push people out of the synagogue who claimed to be the Messiah because they had special privileges with Rome. And so they wanted to make sure that this was probably not something that would have been talked about on a regular basis. In fact, you'll see as we go through the life of James, James actually wasn't a believer until the resurrection. Now, if your mind is just kind of going, wow, Jesus had a brother and he didn't believe. Wow. In fact, one of the reasons why you and I should believe in Jesus is because James eventually does too. James has this massive heart conversion as you look throughout his story after the resurrection. And his message is taken directly from the words of Jesus himself. James is worth listening to. It's this James. The Bible says that this James was a leader in Jerusalem. Often Paul and Peter called him the brother of Jesus. James never calls himself. In fact, if there's one thing that you can take away from this particular passage, it's that James is actually very humble in who he was. And it's probably because his experience later on with Jesus, when Jesus confronts the people who were crowded in a room. And when all of these people were crowded in a room, Jesus was saying all these radical things. If you remember, Jesus didn't start his ministry until he was in his, what? 30s. And it's interesting, every time you see the brothers mentioned, you see Mary there as well. Some people say, hey, this is, Eusebius says, this is Jesus, Jesus' half-brother. Jerome says that it's possible that Joseph had a previous marriage before Mary, and that this was his children, that Joseph had children naturally. Most of the time, this perception is pushed by those who claim the perpetual virginity of Mary. Another group, often again, typically by Catholics, believe that this James, when it says the brother of Jesus, is actually just a cousin or a close relative. This word for brother is actually means to belong to, and it can actually be used in other contexts. And oftentimes it's by Catholics, they'll refer back to the Septuagint, and where it says that Abraham and Lot were belonging to each other. They were brothers. And so that term is kind of a loose term. However, church history, again, points to the fact that this is a very, very, very close relative to the immediate family of Joseph and Mary. And so, no matter what you believe, both Luther and Calvin both said it's possible that Mary could have been a virgin after the time of Jesus, but it's not necessary to believe this. In fact, he says what is necessary is to believe what church history has always taught, and that's that he was close. He probably saw Jesus grow up. Now imagine with me what it would be like to watch him grow up. Jesus grew up. You watched him learn. You went to the same schools. You watched him learn to maybe eat, maybe walk, play games. You saw him with his acne. You saw him have fun. You saw him fall down and get hurt. And then all of a sudden, in his 30s, one day at a wedding banquet, Luke records that the brothers and Mary gathered together for this wedding feast, and Jesus brought his disciples. And Jesus began to teach things shortly after this time, that he was the Messiah, that he was one with God, and he began to do all kinds of miracles. And in the back of your mind, you would think to yourself, wow, he's doing like a bunch of tricks. I knew him. He built furniture with me. What is he doing? You might even say the words that James says, and that's this: he's out of his mind. And the Bible tells us in Mark chapter 3 that James's family came to take hold of him. Came to take hold of him. They heard all these things that Jesus was doing, and they decided that they were going to go and make sure that things were right. Mark chapter 3, verse 20 says this: Jesus entered the house, and a large crowd had gathered. A large crowd had gathered because he was claiming to be the Messiah, and he was doing all these miraculous signs. His family obviously heard about this. In verse 21, it says, when they heard about this, they went to take charge of him. They went to rile him up. He's giving the family a bad name. They said very specifically, he's out of his mind. And the teachers of the law came down from Jerusalem because they thought he was possessed by a demon. This is James. James's experience, as he's looking at this, he's saying, this just doesn't add up. I don't know if you've ever had a family member who all of a sudden just went AWOL. And they are breaking your family norms. They're breaking your family traditions. It just doesn't seem right. And what you want all the most is to go and take charge of them. And that's what James is trying to do. James comes into the situation, he says, you know, maybe it's to save face for Jesus. Maybe it's to say, hey, he hasn't realized that he's ticking off our religious leaders. He hasn't realized that he's giving our family a bad name. Maybe if I just kind of lowly kind of say, hey, he's out of his mind, give him a little bit of grace, give him a little bit of break. But this is how Jesus responds. Jesus responds and he turns to the crowd and he says, a house that is divided against itself can't stand. He said this because they were claiming that he had an impure spirit. Then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived standing outside and they sent someone in to call him. And this is where everything changes for James. They may have grown up together, but Jesus sets a new family dynamic for who's in and who's out. Who's in? Jesus says this. He says, a crowd was sitting around him, and he told them, your mother and brothers, they're looking for you, someone said. And he said, who are my mother and brothers? Then he looked for those who were sitting in the circle, and he said, here, this is my brother. This is my mother. This is my sister. My brother. These aren't just my friends. These are the people who are my family. And then he defines it for us and he says these words. He says, whoever does the will of God, he's my brother. He's my mother. He's my sister. Why does this matter? Well, it matters because Jesus is quoted oftentimes by James. And I think one of the reasons why a major theme in the book of James is obedience to the gospel is because of this situation that James went through. James says things like this, don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, do what it says. Anyone who listens to the words but does not do what it says is like a man who looks in the mirror. After looking at himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently at the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what he has heard, this is why it's important to memorize, they will be blessed in what they do. Maybe this is also the reason why he also goes on and he writes, whoever keeps the whole law yet stumbles in just one part of it, they're guilty of breaking the whole thing. Or maybe it's also why he wrote, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has not deeds, can such faith save him? He's probably looking back and thinking, well, Jesus said it wouldn't. I thought I was good with Jesus. Apparently I'm not. Maybe this is also why he said the body without the spirit is dead, so is faith without deeds is dead. Do you realize that this quote, in some ways, parallels things that Jesus said in the Gospels as well? In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Or in Matthew 7, verse 24, he continues, therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, he's like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rains came down, the streams rose, the winds beat against the house, yet it did not fall because its foundation was on the rock. But anyone, this is how Jesus closes his entire sermon. He gives us all these lectures of how you should live your life. And then he ends. These are the final words. It probably will have been just kind of hushed at the end. It says, anyone who does not, who hears these words of mine, but does not put them into practice, is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The streams rose, the winds beat against the house, and the house fell with a great crash. My guess is that James probably was there with Jesus on a regular basis, Whether he agreed with him or not, he was there. We know this because we see it throughout different passages of Scripture. We see it in John also. John actually goes through and he describes another moment where James was with him. In John chapter 7, John chapter 9, we see another situation played out. In John chapter 7, Jesus again was going into Galilee. He did not want to go about Judea because the religious leaders were looking for ways to kill him. But when the Jewish festival and tabernacle was near, it says this. It says, Jesus, his brother, said to him, "Leave Galilee, go up to Judea, so that your disciples may see your works. No one who wants to be a public figure acts in secret. And since you're doing these things, go show yourself to the world." And verse 5 says, "For even his brothers did not believe in him." He was not saying these things. He was saying, you know, go up to Judea. Partly because he was saying, go kill yourself. Go put yourself in situation. Let's see how you act around the religious leaders. I want to see you do works in front of them because they don't believe in you and neither do I. And so he's challenging Jesus, and Jesus again pushes back on James. He says, "You go to the festival. I'm not going up there. The world can't hate you, but it hates me because I testify that its works are evil." Can I pause there just for a moment? When I read passages like these, it forces me to pause and ask questions like, am I truly obedient to the Word of God? Maybe I'd go back to these passages of James. If I forward on, James also goes on. He says these words. He says, "Joy to you." He says a couple other words that are really impactful. He says, "Consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops into perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you might be mature and complete, not lacking anything." It's important to notice that word joy. In fact, over the next 4 weeks, I want us to kind of use this as our greeting. This is James's greeting. It's actually the word kairain. Say it with me. Ready? If you're level one, you have to say this, okay? Kairain. Okay, and that means joy to you. And this is why it's a big deal. Because this is the only place in the New Testament where that greeting is used. Everywhere in the New Testament, all the disciples throughout all the books greeted with peace or grace and peace to you. Oftentimes, the Jews had the saying shalom, which literally means may all the pieces of your life fit together. It would have grabbed them to hear James do something totally different. See, James starts off and he says, James, a brother, James, a servant of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ also, to the 12 tribes, greetings, joy to you. And you might think, well, that's not a big deal, but he immediately borrows the next word and he said, consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. Because what your God is after, listen to this, whether the pieces of your life fall into place or not, James wants you to be able to be people who have joy. And this is the message of James. See, James says, to get joy, you must also have perseverance. Perseverance is one of my favorite Greek words in the New Testament. It's hupomone. It literally means constancy under suffering. And there's another one that follows it. Perseverance, constancy under suffering, faithfulness to God's word, consistency with it, develops into teleos, which is maturity or perfection. In Matthew, Jesus uses this word when he says, be perfect, be teleos, as your heavenly Father is teleos. Can I put a nice bow on this for you? What James is offering you over the next several weeks as we pause together is an opportunity to study and test your own life, to see if maybe you are mature, to see if you're joyful, to see if you're consistent, not simply in one area of your life, but in every single area. In the next couple of weeks, we're going to study and we're going to look at your mouth. We're going to look at your words, the things that you say. Because James says, you know what, the wise, the mature person, the teleos person, man, they talk a certain way. We're also going to look at your decision making. If you say, hey, I've got lots of decisions, I am not good at that area of my life, James is a great book for you. Because James is going to walk you through how a wise person, how a mature person makes decisions. And finally, our last week together, we're going to actually look at our desires. The mature people actually have certain desires that honor God. And we want to talk about how to get those, because we want those for our own life. So as we begin to study, I'm going to turn it back over to Josh. And we're going to continue to look into this. But I want to encourage you over the next couple of weeks to pull this guy out on a regular basis and to challenge yourself to do more than what you normally do so that you can get more than you normally would. Amen?